Lady Barnstall, I, Frank Lloyd Wright, greatest architect in the world, have arrived with the plans for your theater.
Oh, my model, my model!
Far better than a model, my dear. The blueprints themselves, as the French say. Voila.
I need a model.
You don't. I have thought of you and have prepared for you a personal tour of the complex, given by the architect himself. I will show you in three dimensions your new home. Look, look, here's your room, built directly into the curve of the hill itself, a blend of what nature made and what she had intended to make, had she half my skills. And down the hill and the steps into the dining room, where there will be six chairs and only six, for I believe no dinner should be hosted for more than six people at once, else conversation scatters and splinters into small groups, most of whom, therefore, are left out of the very conversation most important, namely mine. By which I mean yours, Mrs. Barnstall. Don't interrupt Le Grand Tour. Notice on our left of the dining hall, the living room. Facing west, with the calming, restorative waters running directly through it in a moat.
A moat? In my living room?
A moat around a stone fireplace, under a skylight representing water, earth, wind, and fire, all unified at the center of the universe, the family hearth, from which all elements flow.
But a moat.
Flowing from an outdoor reflecting pool, through the home, down the hill to a lake, at the bottom of the hill to a pump house, to return the water back to the reflecting pool, representing the unification.
A moat will attract frogs.
What? No, no, no frogs.
Coming in from the reflecting pool into my living room, there will be frogs.
The pump house will take care of that. It would churn any of the frogs.
Wait! These are the same plans you showed me 5 months ago, aren't they?
You're only just now beginning to see the symbolic implications of all of my work.
After all this time, after all the money I have advanced
you. Because, my dear, I have spent all that time on your theater.
Do you have a model? I want to see a model!
There are all the exclamation marks I've come to expect. Let me tell you about the theater. Shall I tell you about the theater?
Tell me about the theater. Tell me all about the theater. The theater. Paint me the picture. Walk me down its aisles. Draw for me its curtain.
Well, it doesn't have a curtain.
Not yet, no. But what color will it be? For Sugartop's sake, can we fashion a white or a gold? Hollyhocks. Hollyhocks, yes, my favorite flower. Hollyhocks woven into the very fabric of the golden curtain, golden like the California sun. Yes, there shall be woven golden hollyhocks into the curtain and into the design of the building itself. I must have hollyhocks on the curtain, Mr. Wright, or I shall die. Weave in the folds of the curtain gold hollyhocks, gold like California sun. When days be gone. Oh, and also, in the building, design the building itself to unify. Yes, I must have hollyhocks on the curtain. Must have hollyhocks. Or I will die.
Here on the plans, round, outdoors, with benches for seats. See? Benches for seats. There's no curtain.
No curtain. No curtain. But how can a theater be round?
Well, you were the one who invoked the Greeks.
And where is my dressing room?
You were the one who invoked the Dembreeks. There's no curtain, it's round, it adores. You'll have benches for your seats. Are you listening to me? No, you're not. It's an amphitheater. For that is what the topology wants. For that is what the earth demands.
Is that what I demand? No, I think it is not.
Perhaps it is not, so I'll concede.
You'll concede?
I will concede the hollyhocks. Designed you. I beg your pardon.
Have you forgotten the money I've given you? All of the money I give is to you. All the land that I bought, not to mention the philanthropic marks I
made to the rich matriarchs who don't know they use too many exclamation marks.
And the theater doesn't have a curtain.
By which you mean, and I don't have a dressing room. Mrs. Barnstall, listen to me.
Miss Barnstall!
Very well, Miss Barnstall.
Thank you.
Welcome. Listen to me, Miss Barnstall.
No, you listen to me, Mr. Wright. You seem oblivious to the fact that you need me. You have no clients, not a one. Oh, the Imperial Hotel, but I've read the lawsuit against you. And I know that no one's hiring you. The reason is that no one will dare. Your private life is a disgrace. One scandal followed by another one. The public sees you as a monster. And we all know the reason why. Your behavior is rude and unacceptable. So who can put up with you now but I? Because contrary to what you might believe, I think I actually do understand your art and wish to will it into existence. And the Japanese, who don't understand a word you say to them? Well, that's how they put up with you. You think that you know what you're doing? You don't! I advise you to build it my way, but you won't! My beautiful theater built without lights. You design it without any wings, without footlights or teasers or other requites for the actor who dances and sings. And my thousand seat theater's nothing to you. You design it without all those things.
That's right. Euripides didn't have any of that. And if it's good enough for Euripides,
it may be good enough for him. Good enough for Euripides. But it is not good enough for Aileen Barnstall.
Your curtain perhaps is a fountain, yes. A semi-circular fountain, yes, yes. Your curtain is made of
a
water.
A fountain where I'd be standing downstage.
And the water could feed a reflecting pool, a geosyntactic reflecting pool.
A reflecting pool,
yes,
a reflecting
geosyntactic
pool, right where I would seat my audience.
No, the audience would be, would be you do understand, it doesn't matter. The entire audience would fit on a single park bench. That's all who will come to Hiawatha. or any play that's starring you. Please don't risk it, Aileen Barnes doll. Believe me, I'm protecting you.
I think there is one thing we both agree. Your building is all you protect when you direct your gaze at me. It's patently clear all you ever see is a rich and ridiculous woman.
No, you're wrong there. I don't see you as a woman at all. I am the architect. I will convey the plans that I laid, and they will stay.
I'll give it away.
The hell that you say?
Don't think that I won't. You're so resolute. I'll pay for it, then give it away. Perhaps to house the destitute, or better, a lunatic's institute.
I think that it's that already.
Yes, a mental institution. With inmates who will urinate into your reflecting pool, to the living room where the stench will compete with the stench of the frogs. I hate you!
That is irrelevant, or should be. It doesn't matter what I think of you. What matters is our art.
No, no. What matters is our friendship. Let us preserve it at all costs. Why combat it? On some points it is certain you and I are going to be enemies. But in the interim, oh, shan't we be reasonable? Shan't we? Can't we be good friends? Good friends between times. Ah, can't we?
You live in a fantasy world of your own making. I actually admire that about you. Now, God knows from my endless share of women, I've found that there are basically two kinds. The first kind of woman must cling to a man. The second kind of woman will flee if she can. But you belong to the rare third kind of woman, Aileen Barnstall. She is the rarest third kind, the wistful, lonely woman, none too sure of anyone. Or anything. For she, having ventured the uncharted, then fortified by knowledge gleaned from life or circumstance, sometimes painfully, so painfully alone, she's driven, often driven to cover her fear by defiance, by aggression. emotion. By your uncharted power and your cantilevered passion, and self-aggrandized, which is not to say beautiful, awe-inspiring spirit, you counter women's weakness with willfulness beyond all parallel. But shall we be friends? No.
I beg your pardon, you don't know me, and yet you presume to judge. Nor will you ever know me if you don't come to see in the plans that I laid. I have never been afraid, and in fact I am happy and paid all the cost of the two models I never made. All of hell is a waste of my earth. You don't know the tenth my worth. In case you can't tell, you're the patron from hell, a terrible waste. You're spoiled and have no taste.
You cannot, you cannot!
I shall not build you your dressing room, because you don't deserve one!
You do cannot! Not. You do cannot! Not.
And what kind of mother names her child? Sugartop.